U for Umwelt. Umwelt is a German word, which is hard to translate. It's not environment, it's not world, but the world around us, something like that, or the world that surrounds us. Plus Welt. The term was coined in the early 20th century by a zoologist from Estonia called Jakob von Uexküll. And yeah, so he brought that term that was later on picked up by philosophy, by phenomenology, by writing about animals and how they stand in the world, how they perceive the world, how their sensorial wiring informs them. Up to that point, we humans thought that there is only one world and that we all perceive it in a rather similar way, but it's not the case. So there is one Earth indeed, but for all these millions of human beings, there is different worlds because we perceive the world slightly differently. And if you extend it through zoology to other organisms, they're wired in so many profoundly different ways that though these worlds can overlap, just profoundly different understandings of not the world, but the world always for a particular organism. So that's the Umwelt. The Umwelt is always thought in a relation to a certain organism that lives within it, that inhabits it. He gives one famous example, which is of the tick, and a small animal that lives at the skin of mammals. It has basically only three ways of exceeding the world sensorially. One is that it can smell the transpiration of mammals because it smells or senses butyric acid, but only that, nothing else. So it has a very narrow sense of smell, very specific kind of smell. It can sense a temperature of 37 degrees, which is the blood temperature of mammals. And it can also sense the hairy topography of mammals so that it can look for a more naked spot where it can better insert itself in the skin. So imagine a tick sitting on a branch somewhere, basically waiting, sometimes for years, to gain access to a world, to the world as it would make sense to him, the tick. So at some point there might be a transpiring horse galloping underneath, and then the tick would sense it and drop itself, hopefully land on the animal, which it would sense by the 37 degrees, and then look for a non-hairy spot where it can bury itself in its skin. And then the life of the tick is over. Now, this whole notion of cohabitation, of beings in their worlds, is taken up by phenomenology and by philosophy throughout the 20th century. I think it can tell us something about the dance studio as well, particularly now with animal dances. We have a cast of 5 dancers with a very different training and background, different appetites also of performing. And since the beginning of the process, they all have their own animal, their alter ego on stage, so to speak. So you could say that on a representational level, these 5 dancers as animals, they cohabitate on stage as different organisms in their worlds. At the same time, this highlights how dancers live together on stage or also in the studio, and how they negotiate perhaps the way Martin Nachbar as a choreographer perceives the world and kind of shares that understanding of the world through his work, how that's being negotiated. Because of course he wants to share his world first with his collaborators, then with an audience, and how to account for the perspective of the performer on stage, it's a big question. And somehow these 5 different animals, they highlight the fact that it's 5 very different dancers with different access to the world and to making sense on stage. And this complexity is somehow exposed, I think, through the casting of both the dancers and their animal, and how it brings out certain appetites and habits and backgrounds in them.